builder and maker is God. Through faith also Sarah herself received strength to conceive seed and was delivered of a child when she was past age, because she judged him faithful who had promised. Therefore sprang there even of one, and him as good as dead, so many as the stars of the sky in multitude, and as the sand which is by the seashore immutable. Let's pray together. Lord, thank you so much for your word, and we're grateful for the opportunity that we have to be able to study it together. We're grateful also, Lord, that you have given to us wonderful promises in your word to help us and to guide us and to lead us and to direct us. And we're thankful that we can study them together. And I pray that you would help us, Lord, to lean and to trust in you, even in times of testing. And so, Lord, we're grateful for all that you've done. We pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. Our message this morning is when our trust is tested. When our trust is tested. You know, I think we would all agree this morning that Abraham was indeed a man of great deep faith. He was a man of deep faith. He trusted God enough to put him first and enough to pack up all of his things, all of his belongings, and to move to an unknown destination. Abraham learned in his life, day by day, step by step, to trust in God. And he learned that God was indeed dependable, that he was trustworthy. I've learned in my life, I think about the victories and the hardships of my life. I think about good times. I think about hard times, difficulties in ministry, and joys in ministry, and victories in ministry. And I've faced, like many of you, my share of hard times and my share of joys and blessings. But one thing is for sure, God has been faithful through all of it. God has been faithful from the very beginning to the end. And Abraham's faith was not naive optimism, but it was conviction that was forged through decades of choosing to believe God's word over visible circumstances. And we grow in our faith through life and through living, through trials and temptations. And these circumstances in our life should bring us closer to God each and every day. God tests us to reveal our hearts. Now, God rarely tests us in what we don't care about. He tests us in what we treasure. Think about this. Abraham waited 25 years for Isaac to come. And now in our text, God is saying to Abraham, I want you to give him back to me. Now, that would have been a hard decision to make. And this really wasn't about Isaac at all. This was about Abraham's heart. You know, one thing I truly don't understand, and I don't understand the heart. I'm not talking about the physical organ that pumps blood through our body. I'm talking about the core of everyone here. I'm talking about our heart. The central of our life. I don't know your heart this morning, and you don't know my heart this morning, but I can tell you one thing. Our heart is complex. It is complex. I know that God told Jeremiah that our hearts are desperately wicked. Who can know it? And the answer is God. God can know it. Can we go in our Bibles to Jeremiah 17? And notice what the scripture says in verse number 10 together. Jeremiah chapter 17 in verse 10. And notice what the scripture say. The Bible says here, God speaking, it says, I the Lord, Jeremiah 17, 10, I the Lord search the heart. I try the reins, even to give every man according to his ways and according to the fruit of his doings. You know, the Bible teaches us that God looks deeper than our actions. God looks deeper than our words. God looks deeper than our appearances. And he sees what no one else can see. God sees our heart. We can look good outwardly, but it may not match what's happening in our hearts. And God says, I try the reins. In Bible language, reins here means the inner feelings, the conscience, or the will of an individual. It's the part of us that decides what we love. It's the part of us that decides what we fear and what we choose. And only God can see our hearts today. And only God can test our hearts. And so God allows circumstances and pressures and choices to reveal to us what is deep inside our hearts. It's like an orange. You take an orange and you squeeze that orange, you put pressure on that orange. What are you going to get? You're going to get juice, because that's what's inside the orange. When pressure comes, it brings that juice to the surface, and only what is inside the orange is going to come out. Nothing more and nothing less. You know, did you know that there have been circumstances and pressures in my life that I'm embarrassed to say it? These pressures in my life have revealed what is in my heart. And I've got to be honest with you, I didn't like what I saw. Maybe times in my life of lack of faith or lack of holiness, but it was these pressures that allowed me to see my own heart. And God says in Jeremiah, I'm going to give every man according to his ways. God responds to people based on the direction of their life. Not just the moment, but the pattern of their life. If we walk in repentance and faith and obedience, God blesses that path. But if we walk in pride and rebellion and unbelief, then God judges that path. God says that it is according to the fruit of our doings. Fruit that is what is produced in our life. Jesus said it this way in Matthew 7, verse 16. He says, ye shall know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes of thorns or figs of thistles? And so God is saying, listen, I'm going to reveal to you who you really are. And I'm going to put your trust to the test. And so Abraham was indeed a man of trust. Abraham was indeed a man of great faith, but in these verses we see that God is going to put this pressure on him, and he's going to bring to the surface what's in Abraham's heart. You know, I also want to say that many critics take Genesis chapter 22, and they use it as a reason to turn against God, to go against his character and nature. Many will say something like, God told a father to kill his son. That's immoral and that's cruel. And I've heard this, and I've talked with people that use this passage of scripture to go against God. But the reality is that's not what is happening in Genesis chapter 22 at all. You know, God never intended for Isaac to die. Actually, Abraham was surrounded with a culture that sacrificed their own children. And what God is showing us in this passage of scripture is that God doesn't act like them. You see, God provided a substitute in this passage of scripture. And that's really the whole point of the ram. Genesis chapter 22 is not a story about violence, all right? It's a story about prophecy. You know, when you look at this passage of scripture, you see a father who's giving his only son. You see a son who's carrying the wood. You see them going to a mountain. You see a substitute dying instead. We have to understand that this indeed is a picture of Calvary. It is a wonderful picture, and it's our message this morning. When our trust is tested, I want to give you some thoughts. Number one, can we think about the prompting of Abraham? The prompting of Abraham. So the Bible says in Genesis chapter 22 and verse number 1, it says, and it came to pass after these things that God did tempt Abraham and said unto him, Abraham, and he said, behold, here am I. And he said, take now thy son, thine only son Isaac, whom thou lovest, and get thee into the land of Moriah, and offer him there for a burnt offering upon one of the mountains which I will tell thee of. Now, Abraham, of course, is sensitive to the voice of God, and God was prompting Abraham into action. And God prompts us into action in our life. And maybe this morning, God's prompting you to step out by faith and to trust the Lord. I think about Peter when, you know, he saw by faith that he could actually walk on water. You know, he made a commitment with both feet to step over the ship and to walk on water. unbelief keeps both of our feet inside. Doubt keeps one foot in and one foot out. But faith allows us to walk on water under the command of Jesus. And so we notice in this passage of Scripture, this prompting was to prove Abraham. Now, the word test or tempt there, excuse me, in our Bible means to prove or to test. Again, we compare Scripture with Scripture to get a proper interpretation. In James 1, verse 13, we know that God does not tempt to entice to sin. God tempts us or tests us to reveal what is in our heart. And this testing is not to destroy us. No, this testing is designed to reveal who we are. And so they show what God sees in our life. Someone has put it this way. They said these testings or this tempting is to reveal what we think we believe. I like that. It's to reveal what we think we believe. God brings to the surface what is in our heart. And the reality is, in our text here, is that God already knew Abraham's faith. God already knows our heart. Charles Spurgeon said, "Trials teach us what we are. They dig up the soil. They let us see what we're made of." Trials have a way of bringing to the surface of what is happening in our hearts. Can we go to 1 Samuel chapter 16 in our Bibles? 1 Samuel chapter 16. And notice the seventh verse together. 1 Samuel 16 verse 7. The Bible says this in a familiar passage of Scripture. It says, "But the Lord said unto Samuel, look not on his countenance or on the height of his stature, because I have refused him." This is the brothers of David. They're looking for the next king of Israel. And the brothers of David, they look kingly. They look like they could be the next king of Israel. And God says, listen, don't look at their countenance. I've refused them. "For the Lord seeth not as man seeth. For man looketh on the outward appearance, but the Lord, he looketh on the heart." He knows our heart today. And that is both convicting, challenging, and terrifying. God looks at our hearts. Psalm 44, verse 21 says, "Shall not God search this out? For he knoweth the secrets of the heart." Abraham waited decades for Isaac to come. He was more than a son to Abraham. He was a promise. He was a covenant. He was a future hope. At this point, Abraham did not have to choose between a promise and God himself. But now God has put him in this place. This was a test to prove what was in his heart. Understand this. This testing was not God saying to Abraham, "Do you love your son?" This testing that God presents to Abraham was, "Do you trust me with what you love the most? Do you trust me with what you love the most?" And I want to think about that for just a moment, that God tests what matters most to us. You know, God could have asked Abraham for a lamb. God could have asked Abraham for some silver. But he didn't. He asked for Isaac. Here's a great verse for us to know. It's Matthew 6:21. The Bible says, "For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also." Jesus is saying that your heart always follows what you value most. Your heart always follows what you cling to, what you protect, what you fear losing, what you secretly depend on. And that's why the world doesn't understand Genesis chapter 22. That's why from the outside, they look at this passage and they say, this is about a man killing his son. No, this is about a man making God Lord of his life. This is about a man who is trusting God with what is most valuable to him. One man once said, "Lord, I love you more than anything." He says, "Lord, I love you more than anything." And then someone said, "But when God touched his finances, he became angry." When God touched his time, he became defensive. When God touched his plans, he became resistant. You see, God tests, reveals our heart, and God tests what is most valuable to our lives. Also, this prompting revealed Abraham's heart. Look what the Bible says, verse number one of our text. And it came to pass after these things that God did tempt or prove Abraham and said unto him, Abraham, and he said, Behold, here am I. God spoke to Abraham, and how did he respond? He responded, I love this, in obedience, trusting God. You know, God squeezes Abraham. He puts pressure on Abraham. And what comes out? Is it bitterness? Is it resentment? Is it doubt? Is it anger? It's none of those things. It's obedience. The Bible says, he said, here am I. The expression there in the Bible is a willingness to serve. It's a willingness to say, Lord, use me. Lord, what will you have me to do in my life? Exodus chapter 16, can we turn there in verse number 4? Exodus chapter 16 in verse number 4. The Bible says this, Exodus 16 verse 4. It says, Then said the Lord unto Moses, Behold, I will rain bread from heaven for you, and the people shall go out and gather a certain rate every day, that I may prove them, whether they will walk in my law or no. God says, I'm going to allow manna to fall, and every single day you're going to gather what you need for that day. You're not going to gather for tomorrow. You're not going to gather for next month. You're going to gather for what you need that day. And God says, I'm going to prove your heart that you trust in me, that you will look to me for the needs of your life, and that you will obey me. Secondly, I see in our text the proving of Abraham. Not only the prompting of Abraham, but notice the proving of Abraham in verse number 3. And Abraham rose up early in the morning and saddled his ass and took two of his young men with him and Isaac his son, and clave the wood for the burnt offering, and rose up and went unto the place of which God had told him. You know, our trust is proven by our obedience. And I think the first 8 words here in verse number 3 are so revealing, that Abraham rose up early in the morning. I mean, he was ready to obey God. Someone said, faith is a living, busy, active thing. Faith is a living, busy, active thing. And to trust God is to move in the direction of that trust. Elizabeth Elliot. Of course, Elizabeth Elliot is a familiar for her husband, Jim Elliot, who was a martyr way back. She wrote a book called Trusting God Even When Life Hurts. And in this book, she wrote these words. She said, faith is not an instinct. Faith is not inferred from the happy way things always work. It is an act of the will, she writes, based on the unbreakable word of a God who cannot lie. And so as God proves our trust, as God tests that trust, we have to remember that, first of all, trust moves. Abraham had every reason in his life to delay. He had every reason in his life to not obey. I mean, I'm sure he had fear and confusion. I'm sure he was emotional about his situation. He loved his son. It was his only son, but Abraham obeyed. Look what the Bible says. Can we turn to James chapter 2 in our Bibles? James chapter 2. And look what the scriptures say in verse 21. James chapter 2 and verse 21. The Bible says this. It says, Was not Abraham our father justified by works when he had offered Isaac his son upon the altar? Seest thou how faith wrought with his works? And by works, his faith was made perfect. Now, James is not saying that Abraham was saved by his works, but what he is saying is that Abraham's faith became visible. Abraham's faith became visible through his outward obedience. I heard of a small church who was troubled because across the road a bar had opened up, and across the street, and the noise and the drunkenness and the broken lives, I mean, they grieved the congregation. And so what the church decided to do is they decided that they were going to pray. And so they held a prayer meeting and they asked God to either close the bar or to remove it from the neighborhood. And they were serious. They were earnest in their prayer meetings. And for weeks they prayed and they prayed and they prayed. And then one night lightning struck the bar and it burned it to the ground. And the bar was gone. And the owner of that bar was furious. And so the owner of that bar sued the church. And he claimed that your prayers caused my business to be destroyed. To which the church released a statement saying our prayers were not the cause. It went to court and the judge heard both sides. And he said, before I make my decision, one thing is clear. It appears that the bar owner believes in prayer and the church does not. The reality is that our trust is going to move us. It's going to move us in a direction. It's going to have legs to it. And the Bible says that as God proves, as he puts the trust of Abraham to the test, we see that he obeys. And trust is in who God is. It's not in our circumstances. No, it is in who God is. Elizabeth Elliot's message in her book, Trusting God When Life Hurts, is this. Trusting God is not about getting answers we want. It is about trusting a God who is trustworthy, even when life hurts. Trust isn't understanding God's plan every time. There are so many times in my life that God led in a particular direction, and I just didn't understand why. But in those moments when we cannot understand the plan of God, can we take a moment and understand the purposes of God? You see, Abraham didn't understand why, but he understood who God was. And some of those thoughts was Abraham trusted God's faithfulness. God had already proven himself. Abraham was called out of Ur with no map, and God led him. He was promised a son in his old age, and God delivered. He waited 25 years, and Isaac came. And Abraham knew one thing about God. God always kept his word. God's always faithful. The Bible teaches us that in Hebrews 11, in verse 11. Abraham also trusted God's power. I love this. When Abraham raised that knife, listen to me, when Abraham raised that knife, there was not a moment in his heart that he expected a loss. You see, he expected a resurrection. Look what the Bible says in Hebrews 11, verse 17. I'm going to read it to you. It says, by faith Abraham, when he was tried, when he was tested, offered up Isaac, and he that had received the promises offered up his only begotten son. Look at this. Of whom it was said that in Isaac shall thy seed be called. Now look what the Bible says. Accounting that God was able to raise him up even from the dead, from whence also he received him in a figure. Now that, my friend, is a staggering trust. That Abraham was not expecting a loss, but he was expecting this fact. If I give my son to God, he's going to give him back. Why? Because of who he is. He made a promise, and God will keep his word. Abraham trusted the goodness of God. No time in the Bible does Abraham say that God is cruel. No time in the Bible does he say that God is unwise? But no, he says in our scripture as he obeys the Lord in his actions that God is faithful and God is good. And the Bible says, oh, taste and see that the Lord indeed is good. Abraham also trusted God's purposes. You see, Isaac wasn't just Abraham's son. Isaac was the carrier of God's redemptive plan. And Abraham knew that God's purposes were bigger than his pain, and he trusted God's purposes for his life. The Bible says in Genesis 22 in verse number 5, "And Abraham said unto the young men, Abide ye here with the ass, and I and the lad will go yonder and worship." Look at this. "And we will come again unto you." The reality is that he believed that both of them would return. Let me give you my final point. Hold on now. This is the provision of God. The provision of God. The Bible says in verse 13, "And Abraham lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, behind him a ram caught in the thicket by his horns. And Abraham went and took the ram and offered him up for a burnt offering in the stead of his son. And Abraham called the name of the place Jehovah Jireh, as it is said to this day, of the mount of the Lord it shall be seen." Now, most of the storybooks of this story, they make Isaac just like a three-year-old boy, just a small little boy, and his father is tying him onto the altar. But Bible commentaries and theologians believe that at this particular time, Isaac was probably 18 to 20 years old, and Abraham was almost 100 years old. His son, Isaac, could have overcome his father at any moment. I mean, this was not just the faith of Abraham, this was also the faith of Isaac, trusting God and trusting his father. The Bible says that he was a lad. The Hebrew word here means youth or young man. And so this provision of God is not just presented to Abraham. It is also provided here to Isaac as well. You know, someone has said that where God guides us, he will also provide for us. And this is true as we think about the testings of our faith in our life. God meets the needs of our heart in those testings. And we see it in our text. We see, first of all, that God's provision is always on time. That ram did not appear when Abraham left home. That ram appeared at the right time when Abraham raised that knife. And the Bible says in Psalm 27:14, it says, "Wait on the Lord and be of good courage, and he shall strengthen thine heart." The Bible says, "Wait, I say, on the Lord." God's provision in our life is just in time. God doesn't give grace for tomorrow and things that we think may happen. God gives grace for us in this day, in this moment, for these testings in our life. God gives to what we need today on time. And God's provision is always enough. You know, I remember in Paul's testing, as his trust is tested, the thorn in his flesh. And what was his testimony? What did Jesus say to him? In 2 Corinthians 12 and verse 9, he said unto me, "My grace," Jesus said, "my grace is sufficient for thee." Do you know what that means? It means his grace is enough. His grace is enough to help us in our time of trial. When our trust is tested, his grace is enough. Of course, Genesis 22 is a wonderful picture of Calvary, and I just love the expression in the Bible in Genesis 22 and verse 8, where the Bible says that God will provide himself a lamb. That's just a wonderful picture of Calvary, really the heart of grace, that we bring nothing and God brings everything. Romans 8:32 says that he spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all. How shall he not with him also freely give us all things? He gives us enough to help us in the testings of our life. And then I want to say this, that God's provision is remembered. You see, Abraham named that mountain Jehovah Jireh, and Jehovah Jireh means God will provide. When we understand today that God does test that faith, he reveals what is in our heart to help us, and we learn from that as we learn to trust him day by day. We also learn that this testing brings us to a wonderful time in our life where we learn to see the provision of God. And we understand that his provision is enough to help us and to lead us and to direct us. God tests He tests our trust. And I don't know where you are today in your life, but if you're a Christian, I do know this. God is at work in your heart, and he wants you to learn to trust him in a greater way. And so what does he do for you and for me? He helps us to see what's in our heart, and he helps us to correct that by looking to him. Let's pray together, can we? Lord, thank you so much for the one.